Holy Spirit, to open our hearts and minds as we hear your word again today. Come through this sermon. We pray that you can plant us firmly on it so that we know who we are, whose we are, and in whose strength we stand. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I can find the start of my sermon. Here we go. Ready, set, go. Off we go. It's amazing, isn't it, that Jesus has given us, the people of the church, the job of going out into the world to share this faith that we have with others. It's the one command that he gave to the disciples right there before he ascended into heaven. Matthew 28, you'll hear me keep talking about it. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything that I've taught you. Mark 16 also has something similar. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Jesus wants us to go. And I don't know how you feel about that. I keep telling you, but sometimes I find that mighty hard. And I don't know what your journey in that area of going and telling others has been like. Today, I want to firm us up in our surety that, in fact, we do know enough. We've been given enough to go. It's not rocket science, as I said to Chris. Actually, the Christian faith is quite simple, and we probably all know it. But being sure of it is maybe one of the things that the devil likes to prod us in, that area of our life, telling us that you don't know enough, you're going to get it wrong, you're going to mess it up, you're going to cause someone to fall away. All those things are a lie. We've been given something solid to stand on, something that we can share, something that we know is the truth. And it's the word of God, isn't it? God's given us this word. It's come to us through 2,000 years of Christians passing it on. It's what the church has been built on. It's not always been there in a book form. We heard it in our Acts reading that the early disciples, that beautiful picture of the early church, as they gathered together, they sat at the apostles' feet and listened to their teaching. And praise be to God for them. They shared the good news with people in Jerusalem at that time, and their numbers grew, it said, as they were listening to the teaching, taking it on. But luckily for us, there was four guys that wrote it down for us. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John wrote down those words, the Gospels, and they passed it on to the next generation, and the generation thought that was pretty good, and they've passed it on to us. We have the same faith, the same foundation for our faith, the word of God passed down to us. The apostles wrote letters to the churches as the church grew with instructions, and the churches kept those letters and they passed them on to every generation. And we still have the same teaching that early church has. We don't have to be worried that we've lost it, that God's word has ever changed or ever will change. It's with us still today in the church. And the word by itself isn't what actually changes hearts and minds, is it? It's the power of the Holy Spirit to work through it. As the apostles taught the early church, as they spoke to the people that didn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit used those words of the apostles, as they used the words of the faithful people to bring others into faith. There's this connection with the Holy Word that we have in the Holy Spirit. Tom gave me a beautiful insight when I visited him during the week. He said, a lot of churches have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Scriptures. Sometimes we get confused what the Holy Scriptures is. It's God's Word to us, but it's His power through the Holy Spirit that uses those words to bring us to faith. We don't have to worry that we don't have the right words because God's given to them, us. They're in your Bibles. You can open it up. You can feed on it. You can sit at the apostles' feet like that early church. I often hear that Acts reading and I think, oh man, wish we had a church like that. Listen to it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily. I think if we have a heart here at Concordia to bring people into the church, then we can learn a lot from that early church. We probably don't have to replicate it as they had it, but some of the things they stood on is still what we as a church stand on. And that, for me today, I'm talking about the Word of God. They devoted to the apostles' teaching. They shared in it. They lived in it. They met together daily to get into it. So my first encouragement for you in your Christian walk, as you think about sharing your faith with others, you need to be fed. You need to get into God's Word each and every day. It's a powerful tool to remind us of who we are, whose we are, and in whose strength we stand. I pray each and every one of you have a good devotional life. It can be tough though, can't it? Finding the time and the energy and the headspace to get into God's Word. But that's so important for us. Through God's Word, He will continue to strengthen us and give us the sure foundation that we need. The Rudolph household, we love to share the Word with our kids. We have one of the little resources. I was going to use it for kids' chat, but I had a different thought. But we read them God's Word in a simple way. We just bring them a simple message each morning over breakfast. Maria and I trying to read through the Bible together. We've read through it, what are we up to? Our fourth time through now as a couple, over 10 years. So it takes a time to get through the Bible, but reading, well, we're up to the third time. I shouldn't boast. We also read devotional materials. There's so many different ways now in our modern world where we can sit at the disciples, the apostles' feet, and learn from him. We are so blessed in this country, aren't we? Compared to other nations that struggle even to have the Bible written in their own language. And we're praying over Obang and his gospel project as he's able to bring his Anawa people closer to Jesus through hearing the gospel in their own language. It's an important tool, but we've got it. We've got it in so many different ways. It's overpowering going into Coorong and seeing how many different Bibles we have in English now. Apparently the King James Version is the only type that you can read, though, some people think. But we are blessed, aren't we, by how abundantly resourced we are. But we make lots of excuses, though, don't we? And so it comes to our gospel reading today, where Jesus says to his followers, "You call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say." It's a good reminder for us in the church. I don't think Jesus is speaking just about, you know, those people who know him as Lord and those people outside of the church, those people that are building their lives on Jesus and those that are lost and building their lives on the sand. He's actually talking to believers, people that call him Lord. This picture of the sand and the rock, it's for believers to shake us up, to make sure that we've got our feet planted on this solid ground. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? For everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock." Often, I think we, you know, simplify this way too much where we think, just build your life on the rock. But Jesus actually talks about digging down. In Perth, that's not so hard. Sand's lovely to dig in. I loved watching the Bunnings videos when I was over on the East Coast because, you know, to dig a hole about this far took me an hour to dig through the clay and the rock. And, you know, the Bunnings videos are all made in Perth and they just say, dig a trench, and they, like, three shovel loads later, they've dug down. Digging down to the rock foundation can be hard, and it can be hard in our lives to find that time, to dig down in our lives, to make that time to read his word, to get close to God through his word, but it's critically important. Jesus never pictured the Christian life as one of paradise, did he? Where everything works out and we're on, you know, easy street. Jesus actually pictured the discipleship walk as one that will be hard. And this picture of digging down, it's going to take effort in our lives to get into it. I wonder if you tallied up all the hours that you spent either looking at the TV or surfing the net compared to how many hours you spent reading the Word, what would the balance be in your life? That's a conflict for me, and I don't even have a TV, but I have plenty of screen time in my life. How serious are we in getting into the Word? It can be tricky on our own, though, can't it? I think that's why God's given us the church, our brothers and sisters, to walk in. It's a real joy to be able to sit with my wife and to read the Bible together, because I know some nights I probably wouldn't if she said, come on, it's time to read. And there's probably nights where she wouldn't if I didn't instigate it. I think it's so important for us to dig down together, isn't it? That's what we do here as a church. It's important to gather together in small groups and to Bible studies, to get into the Word together. But I want to encourage you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you know that has come to you through God's Word, maybe it's come through people, but knowing that it's firmly planted in God's Word, if you're sure that God's Word is the tool that God's using to bring more and more people into the church, it contains the truth about Jesus Christ, then why aren't we reading it more together as Christians? But why aren't we inviting more people to read it with us? I've got a beautiful book on my shelf. It's called Reading the Bible One-on-One. It's about using the Bible as your evangelism tool. Think about it. The Bible's got all the answers. We don't need to know all the answers. We just have to point people to God's Word and walk with them on that journey. Because who here has finished that journey of knowing everything that God's got to tell them through the Bible? Not one of us. It continues to plant into our lives, doesn't it, as we go to it. Reading the Bible one-on-one is a great tool for us in our Christian life, but what about inviting others into that space? This book says simply, if people are asking you about Jesus, just say, would you like to read the Bible with me? Let's spend 6 weeks reading through the Gospel of Mark. And you'll be surprised how people are open to that. Maria and I had the joy, we've got some beautiful Swedish friends that we like to visit, and they live in a Christian country where everyone's so-called Lutheran, but no one really knows anything about who God is. They just had their daughter confirmed the other day, but they had never read the Bible. And we were with them one time and they said, can you read us the Bible? And we were like, okay, this is great. What an opportunity. What, did we open up to Mark? And we just started reading them and the questions came. We didn't have to instigate it. We didn't have to tell them what God was thinking. It's all written there. It's all there. You just have to invite people into that space. So here's a good pastoral challenge for you. In this week, in these months ahead, as you think about sharing the word, don't get anxious about it. Just think about, how can I invite someone else to read the Bible with me? This guy who wrote the book, I forget the author, but it's very simple. It's $15, but basically it's very simple. Invite someone to read it, set a timeline. You'll meet every Tuesday for coffee and you're going to read the Bible together. It's that simple. For those outside of the church, they don't know the power of God at work in the Bible, but we do. We have trust in it, don't we? We know it changes our lives. It gives us a firm foundation to stand on. So why not share that with others? Why not let them dig down into it? See how God plants them on the firm ground of Jesus Christ as they hear it. It's a challenge though, isn't it? I would like to ask you now, what are the scriptures that you go to find your security when you're going through hard times, because Jesus does tell us that we'll go through hard times, but he tells us if we're planted in his word, we'll be secure. Because I think here in Concordia, we've got an amazing space. On our heart is this, we want to share Jesus with our community. Do you know this church gets used by the community? They come into this space. We're not here as the church, but our building's here. And we can witness to them by what we've got up on the walls. One thing that I'd like to see happen in the coming period is have scripture up on the walls. Some of these promises of God that we stand firm in, that we can witness to others. We've got these beautiful pictures, and I know they're all biblical stories. I think we can do better. I think we can bring God's word alive in this place. As kindy dance come and they're dancing to music, and as the parents are going through life and they see God's word up on the wall, they might ask some good questions. As, what are some of the other kindies dance? There's a drama group. The craft group comes in here. They're asking good questions. And now I think we've just accepted a tutoring group that will tutor children, after-school tutoring two nights a week. They'll be using this space too. So I would like to take some of your key scripture passages and think about getting our artistic, creative people in this congregation to get them up in bold ways on our walls so that we can witness to people. So I'm going to take them down. I need Jenny's pen back. I did give it back. I didn't steal it. Thanks, Jenny. Oh, she's just given it to me. There you go. All right. What were some of the passages that you shared with others? Mary's got a hand up. What we need to do, maybe we need to get a list going and then we'll select some of these, and I'd love to see them up on our walls. Scripture that we can stand firm in, scripture that brings us a surety in the midst of life's, you know, sufferings and turmoils that come our way, as a witness to those people that come into this building that we stand on God's word here, we trust it as the truth, and we want to share that with others. My encouragement for you this week is to stand firm on God's word, to dig down on it. And that might come in different ways in different parts of our lives. For some, it might just be doing a devotion. For others, it might be going off to study at theological college to dig down even harder. But know this, all of us stand on a simple word, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came into this world to save us from our sins. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we have salvation in his name. That's what the early church knew, and that's the message they took to the world. I pray that you can stand firm on God's word, know its truth for your life, and share it with others around you, and know that the power of the Holy Spirit will work through you. As I shared 2 weeks ago, your personal story has a wonderful part to play in that, but bring them God's word too. Share God's word. Think about making time for that. One thing on my heart here for Concordia is getting the small groups up and happening again. There's a few small groups happening, but I think it's really important to get together and read God's word together as a community. And I know in this modern world, people are so time-stretched, so that might be one-on-one. If that concept flicks your switch, try it with someone in the community here. Say, come on, let's try this for 6 weeks. Let's get together for a coffee and we'll just read the Bible. Let's not chat about, you know, the Eagles or the weather or what's going on in California, but let's dedicate our time to reading God's word and let the fruit bear from that. And then get bold in inviting people that don't know Jesus to read the word. They can just say no, and that's okay. Jesus had people say no to him too. But there are people who are open to it, and through God's word, they can come to salvation in Jesus' name. What a joy. So stand firm on the solid rock that we have in Jesus Christ and go forth and proclaim his name in the Spirit's power. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.